Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode for Anabaptist Perspectives Partners. Marlon and I are here, and we plan to respond to a question that somebody sent to us inquiring about the clothes we wear. So we'll start by reading the comment. Funny how it's always the things that women are doing, huh? It is very curious that conservative Anabaptist women are seemingly expected to maintain plain dress and head coverings, while seemingly the majority of Anabaptist men dress exactly the same as the father at 9 minutes and 2 seconds. Isn't it interesting how the average conservative Anabaptist man looks like every other middle-aged dad, but the women are expected to still be dressing with the 19th century aesthetics? It's comically absurd that there are conservative Anabaptist men that will lecture women for worldly dress standards while wearing blue jeans and a flannel. Don the bratafalls and the suspenders, and then maybe the sentiment wouldn't look so blatantly misogynistic. And I see that this commenter left a time reference to the YouTube video, which is a reference to something that Chester Weaver said in the episode called Apostasy of the 1960s. But Marlon, how do you respond to this comment, this critique?
Yeah, I think it's a good comment. I think it's a question that should be taken seriously. I don't have a good sense of the relative demographics of what would be called conservative Anabaptists. It seems to me there's a very sizable percentage of what would be called conservative Anabaptist men who would wear broad falls and suspenders or something else that, clearly marks them as wearing distinctive apparel. And, this point, by churches that believe in distinctive apparel, they will often make the point that some of the churches that might be a little more like the ones often represented on Anabaptist Perspectives expect their women to wear distinctive apparel and don't expect the men to wear distinctive apparel. And I'm thinking of churches that would, ask men to wear a certain kind of hat or suspenders or a certain cut of pants or whatever. So I take it this critique is coming from somebody who does not like distinctive dress. But people who like distinctive dress, which are a very large portion of conservative Anabaptists, would make the same point, aimed at, precisely a lot of the people who would show up as guests on Anabaptist Perspectives. So we might as well acknowledge that. And Jaron, we have a forthcoming episode that you did with Edsel Burge. I'm curious if there's any possibility of, say, a mini spoiler. Would Edsel make a similar point to this?
Yep, definitely. He sees plainness as a good thing. He is an apologist and an advocate for plainness and sees it as something that should pertain equally to both men and women in the dress, but is not only, perhaps not even primarily, a matter of dress. He sees plainness as a way of life, a way that we approach our properties, our houses, our vehicles. A somewhat comprehensive vision for how we engage and order our material worlds. For him, it's a question of economics and wealth and a question of identity, both of which are not gender distinct considerations.
So, yes, I think that episode could be helpful in a variety of ways, coming from Edsel. It would help understand a certain plain Anabaptist perspective. I guess what I want to do here in responding to this, first of all, to talk about how this looks from, I'll say from the mindset of, a lot of Anabaptists, myself or people like us a little bit. And then after talking about that, come back around to where I think this comment really does bite the most, and the kind of things that need to be thought about there. So yeah, I do consider myself a plain Anabaptist in a broad sense of lifestyle. I don't think there's a lot of Anabaptists that dress more plainly than I do. If by plainly, you mean wearing ordinary clothes, things that, you know, are not undue expense, things that aren't designed as major fashion statements. I don't have a uniform, so it's very different than the doctrine of distinctive apparel or uniform apparel, which is at least functionally put forth in some Anabaptist churches. So it's true that if I'm walking down the street, I'm not necessarily going to look distinctive. There are some unusual things. I don't wear a hat unless it is required for weather protection. I'm not going to go in public in shorts. I'm not going to wear any sort of jewelry, not even a wedding ring. Always going to have a shirt on. Not going to be wearing a muscle shirt. I'm not going to be wearing anything that's overly expensive, at least not in what I paid for it. If I bought it from the thrift store, I don't know what the original price tag was. I don't mind getting good quality clothes at a discount. You're not going to see me in a tuxedo or anything very close to a tuxedo. You're not even going to see me in a tie, partly because of the sensibilities of a lot of our people that see that as kind of like jewelry or whatever. Okay, so it's unusual for a man to never wear those things. I would say it's a bit unusual, you know, that combination. But at any given time, it's not going to look strange. Nobody's going to say, oh, it's strange for this person to be walking down the street wearing some version of khakis or dress pants and some version of a button-down shirt and no hat. So it's not distinctive in the way that, you know, a lot of traditional Anabaptist clothing is. But I think it's safe to say that it's plain. But now, sisters, and this is where, you know, the question could start to come in. Sisters in our setting, even in the same general setting as what I'm talking about, will generally stand out as distinctive for various reasons. I think the only things, you know, say from the perspective of our church here, the only things that as a matter of the position of the church would necessarily be distinctive or unusual would be, you know, wearing clothing that has a skirt rather than pants and the covered head as part of normal dress. And from the perspective of how most of us would see that, you know, the covered head is something taught in Scripture. Many people would argue that not only should it be covered, but it should be covered in a way that looks religious. And it's that idea that it looks like a religious symbol probably that makes it more distinctive than just the bare fact of the covered head. When it comes to, you know, wearing some kind of clothing that includes a skirt, as far as I can tell, that's just a, you know, kind of European-American conservative cultural instinct that this is what is feminine apparel as opposed to masculine apparel or whatever. A dress is traditionally feminine in a European American background. So, you know, whatever you think of those two points, it seems to me like those are the only two principled things in our setting that would naturally make a sister look a little bit more distinctive than a brother. But that is different from a lot of conservative Anabaptist settings. Yeah, Jaron, any comments at that point?
So I think I hear you making a distinction between plainness and uniform clothing. Like, uniform dress code you would see as a different matter from plainness. And I think I'm also hearing you advocate for, or at least say that you're a practitioner of plainness, but not uniform clothing.
Yes, that would be correct. Yeah, I would say that in the best cases, I think the uniform clothing has been aimed at something like what I'm describing as plainness, or originated in something like that. I think it has often become something different. But anyhow, I interrupted you, so I'll let you keep going. Well,
so I'm curious what this has to do with the criticism. Do you see this criticism as being less valid if we're to understand plainness as just basic, practical, and expensive clothing like you're describing?
If that is understood consistently for both men and women, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, where this has a lot of bite, whether it's coming from somebody outside, you know, doesn't practice any kind of plain clothing, or whether it's coming from traditional Anabaptists, you know, who do advocate for broad falls and suspenders, I think this does have a lot of bite in church settings where, you know, sisters have highly regulated dress. Like, this is essentially the pattern that you use. You wear a standard pattern. You wear a standard pattern of head covering to mark you as a group because, you know, you should have unity and wear the same standard pattern. You got a standard pattern for a dress, and those standard patterns can be more or less rigid depending what the group is. If you have that, and then, you know, are very loose with standardization in the men, so you have the idea that the women's apparel should be not just plain and modest, but, you know, identifiable as a group, and the men's doesn't need to be, or the men are wearing muscle shirts and bill caps or whatever. I mean, I think this has a lot of bite, yeah. I think that there should be some pretty serious soul-searching if you're expecting the women to carry the burden of basically maintaining group identity through dress, and the men don't have that burden of maintaining group identity through dress. And I don't think that churches like us are exempt from that. We should probably have some soul searching too, but I think it's a lot less of an issue.
Well, what's the idiom here? I think we're walking on thin ice. Maybe we're kicking sleeping dogs.
I don't think they're sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least this commenter, he's woken the dogs up. And I think that it's a criticism or a critique, or at least a call to soul searching that we'll also hear in Edsel's episode, which may or may not be published by the time we release this partner episode. Would you be at the point of proposing a solution for what ought to be done? I know that that's risky business to say what ought to be. It's it's easier to point out inconsistencies and ask us to do soul searching. But what would you envision as a healthy path forward when, in the instances where this critique is legitimate?
Good question. And where to start with that? One thing, for those of us in the conservative Mennonite world, and air is a way of talking about nonconformity and so on. I think the fundamental question needs to be asked, like, do you believe in distinctive apparel or don't you? And when I say distinctive apparel, I don't mean apparel that is distinctive because, you know, most people are comfortable with clothing that doesn't cover nearly what I think it should cover. I mean apparel that is distinctive for the sake of being distinctive, like broadfalls or plain coats or, you know, highly regulated dress patterns. And I realize there's different arguments for that as to why you do it. If you do believe in distinctive apparel, then yes, the brothers should be unapologetic and wear something that distinctively looks traditional. If you don't, then you need to start thinking fairly carefully about, you know, what is it that is a church position regarding sisters' apparel? And why is it a church position? And I'm not sure that at this point that I want to dive into, you know, trying to answer those questions on a podcast or whatever. But you got to be consistent. And you got to figure out, or at least wrestle with, do you believe in plainness or distinctiveness, and in what combination? How do they relate to each other? And I guess I will go to another hobby horse, perhaps. This is not directly related. Sorry, it's not the same issue, but it does seem to relate to the consistency. And that is the whole thing of, you know, Anabaptist men feeling like it's okay to wear hats and, you know, in our circles, bill caps and branded bill caps and so on, as long as they take them off for prayer. And yet being, you know, very insistent that the woman's prayer veiling is to be, you know, in all of public life. Okay, taking your hat off doesn't make you look distinctive, because there's lots of men that go on without hats. But, you know, Anabaptist men wearing bill caps because they like the look of them or they like the vibe that it creates. I don't know. I can't have much patience with that, I guess. On the same grounds of consistency.